Now, Hezbollah says Badreddin was killed in an explosion targeting one of its bases near Damascus Airport, and is currently investigating what caused the blast. Well, for the latest on this, I'm joined in the studio by Wasim Nas. Wasim, hello. First, how significant is Badreddin's death?
He's very, very important, and it was said to me that he was killed in the facility, in the airport, and people are suspecting missiles coming from across the border from Israel, as the son of Imad Mughniyeh was killed in the Golan Heights by the same missile. But as you said, Hezbollah said investigations are ongoing, and I was told that Hassan Nasrallah, the head of the Hezbollah, might say the real reasons during the funeral, which is today, of Badreddin. And the story of Badreddin goes back more than three decades. We go back to 1983, when he was involved with Iraqi fighters from the Dawah party, backed also by Iran, when they attacked the French embassy, the U.S. embassy, and they attacked another company in Kuwait. And it was the response of Iran when France sold aircrafts and Exocet missiles to Iraq, headed by Saddam Hussein, who was backed by France at the time. And he was convicted there in 1984. And he was, it's quite curious, but he was released when Saddam Hussein entered Kuwait and opened the prisons. And then he found refuge in the Iranian embassy, and he was sent back to Beirut. But also he is suspected to be behind the first kamikaze attacks, one of the first kamikaze attacks in Lebanon, back also in October 1983, against French airborne forces and the marine forces who were present for the UN in Lebanon at the time. And 58 airborne French forces were killed, and up to 241 marines were killed in those attacks. And those attacks were really among the first suicide attacks or kamikaze attacks in the country, knowing that the first attack was made in 1981 against the Israeli forces. And so when he was held in Kuwait and sentenced to death in 1984, this is when Hezbollah abducted the CIA station chief in Beirut, William Buckley. And when there was hostages still in Lebanon in the hands of Hezbollah, he was negotiating his liberation as the liberation of what was known the Cell of the 17, who were all involved in the attacks in Kuwait. So, and since this time, and since he was the cousin and the close cousin of Imad Mughniyeh, he had real responsibilities in the ranks of Hezbollah. He was a kind of a very important person in the military shura or jihadi shura of Hezbollah, and it is said that he was head of the intel in Syria, and his position inside the airport was to monitor all the Shia fighters coming from abroad, so either from Iran or from Iraq, and to train them and then to send them to the fronts inside Syria.
Well, tell us more about Hezbollah's role in Syria.
Actually, Hezbollah today is very involved in an ideological war. It's a real war between him and jihadi groups, and they are fighting for political but also for dogmatic and ideological reasons. And this is why the real confrontation today, or the harshest confrontation, is between jihadi groups and Hezbollah, because both of them are fighting for God. They say that it's their jihad to fight in order to implement their kind of rule. And this is why they are the ones, actually, the Hezbollah, having maybe the best, if I may say so, results against the jihadis, because this fight is a real ideological fight, and Hezbollah is getting more and more involved in the war in Syria, either on the Lebanese frontier, either in the south, or in the Aleppo region, but also Shia militias from Iraq, but also Shia militias from Iran, which is sending Afghan refugees, Shia Afghan refugees in the country, sending them back to fight in Syria, knowing that their families, once they die in Syria, get the Iranian nationality. So this is a cross-border war today between huge militias, huge forces, each on his side, each doing its own jihad.